And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the work that you have already done tonight. And may it continue. In Jesus' name. Help me speak the words you want me to say and not say the things you don't want me to say. Open our hearts to hear your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So happy new year again, right? Happy new year, it's a new year. I'm always excited when we start a new year. Like, I get this restart like a bunch of times, especially since coming here and we celebrate the start of the Hebrew year. So at the start of the Hebrew year, I'm like, oh, it's a new year. Yes, new chance for the Lord to do something. And then my birthday's in October at the end of the month. So it's like a month and a half later. I'm like, yeah, restart. Yes, Lord. And then we hit December and January. And I'm like, yeah, happy new year. Right? So it just really makes it clear to me in those, like, what is that, four months, that his mercies are new every morning. Because it's like every couple months, I'm like, yeah, it's a new year, right? Let me say, when I turned 30, I was really excited to be in a new decade. Because I was like, okay, the mistakes of the 20s are behind me. New chance, new number in the front. Lord, it is a new season and a new day. And so in the same way, we're in a new decade. And so it is a new opportunity for you to step into the glory of the Lord. If you are already in that place, you go from glory to glory. If you have regrets, it is time to put them under the blood of the Lord and to go forward with him into newness, into grace, and into glory. Amen. So I speak over you. Bless you. God, just bless each person who is hearing this, whether it is now or later in the recording. Bless them to know that your mercies are new every morning, that whatever has happened in the past is the past. That they can step into your unfolding grace, your unfolding glory, and your unfolding power for them. God, help us to know the good works and the plans and the purposes that you ordained for us while we were yet in our mother's womb. I thank you that you have good for us, both for us and for us to do. Bless you all in Jesus' name. So often at the start of the year, with that whole newness thing, people like to make resolutions or goals, right? Do we have any resolution or goal makers? No. Yep, couple. Okay. A couple people are like, I don't want to say it, but I am. Okay. And so we can go back and forth like all day about whether they're effective. I see like, you know, 10 opinion pieces at the end of the year that are like, don't make resolutions, blah, 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 with all these like doomsday statistics. Okay, but the one thing we can agree on is that if you like know where you're going, your goal, whenever you make it, is a lot more effective, right? Like, if I have a visualization, if I'm like, this is where I am going, whether it's in my business, whether it's with my health, whether it's my family, whether it's like, I want to journal every day, and you're like thinking about the book that's going to be filled up at the end of the year. When you have like that picture in your brain, a lot of times whatever you do is way more effective, right? Because at any moment, if you have this picture, if you have this end goal, if you have this destination in mind, at any moment, you can look at what you are doing and go, is that moving me towards that end picture or not? Right? If you don't have a clear, this is where I'm going in mind, then there's no ability to self-reflection. I mean, I've mentioned this before. I can talk myself into a whole lot of things. So if I don't have this end goal in mind, I can be like, yeah, that extra hour of sleep for sure moves me forward in my goal. For sure. Because I have no actual goal, right? I've just kind of had this nebulous in shape, right? Or this nebulous idea of like, be a better person, right? And I have no concept of what that actually means. And so I can just talk myself into anything. But when I have this end goal, a lot of you know that I write and that I'm a writer. So a bunch of my online writer friends are like, 1 million words this year. Yes. Right. It's not really that many. It's like, it's a little less than 3,000 words a day if you write every day. Okay. And so they're like, here we go, 1 million words. Right. So if I'm just like, I want to write more this year, I can skip a couple days and it's no big deal because I'm more. But if I have 1 million words in mind, and every day I don't write, that number of how many more words I have to write each day starts climbing, right? It's really easy to go, okay, I need to buckle down and I need to sit down, okay? And so Ron talked about fasting last week. And so that's a really great example. Because if your goal, when you're developing a lifestyle of fasting, and this is not just a one-off, like, I'm fasting for this specific purpose, but your lifestyle. So if your lifestyle of fasting is like, I want power encounters with the Lord every time I fast, you're probably going to get disappointed really, really quickly. Like, I started fasting as a lifestyle when I was 16. So I'm a couple decades in, right? That's like 1,000 weeks, right? If my goal was power encounters with the Lord, like, I'm going to be real honest. I have not had 1,000 power encounters with the Lord. Like fasting in the heavens, just, whoa, right? It does not happen every week. Grace to you if that is your story with the Lord. It is not mine. Fortunately, that's not my goal, though. Right? My goal is to see the Lord more clearly and to see myself more clearly. And that is a goal that I can say the Lord continues to meet. Every time I fast, I see him more clearly. Every time I fast, I see myself way more clearly because the irritation, the anger, the lust that rises up in my heart is all in pursuit of my goal because I'm going, oh, there's a lot of junk left in there. Like when I don't push it down with food, there's a lot of mess in there. And so, Lord, let me offer that to you, right? And he's gracious to pour out his mercy on me. So I keep walking forward in my goal to be more like Christ. And so that's kind of what I want to share about today is where are we going and how do we know if we're on track? And I don't mean we as in Shepherd's Heart. I mean we as Christians and as the corporate body of Christ, okay? We as Christians and we as the corporate body of Christ. My message today is actually titled Transformation, Not Agitation. Okay? Transformation, not agitation. And we're going to read in Ephesians 4. Okay? We're going to go to Ephesians 4. And I'm going to read out of the New American Standard. So if you flip it open in your phone, you know what translation I'm reading out of. Ephesians chapter 4. Ron preached a couple weeks ago on a youth Sunday, and we've been children's pastors for a long time, and so he's taught kids to sing like the New Testament. So he had the kids from all over the sanctuary singing the New Testament song as their parents were flipping in the thing. And so I find that humming through my brain. There's like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. See, once I start, I can't stop. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy, 3 John's, Jude, and Rev. No, wait, Titus, Philemon, Hebrew, James, 1st Peter, 2nd Peter, 3 John's, Jude, and Revelations. See, the melody repeats a few times, so if you're not thinking, you just skip. But I got to Ephesians without problems, so are we there? Are we good? Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 11. And once again, I'm reading New American Standard. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Okay, so let's just break down this passage so we have some clarity about what's going on here. Are you guys okay? Okay. I just saw a bunch of kids on their head all of a sudden, so just making sure. So verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. This verse tells us who has been gifted to lead. Okay? He gave gifts. Okay? Who he has given to lead. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. This verse explains why they lead. Okay? Not to do the work, but to equip and build up the church as a whole. Okay? The church as a whole to do what they are called to do. The good works and the service that Christ ordained for each one of us to accomplish. You know, we talk about that a lot here, you know, but sometimes it can be a popular misconception across the body that those who are ordained to do the work, ordained to lead, are therefore the only ones to work, right? And it's like, no, we're here to help you so that we can all do what the Lord has called us to do. And you've heard me say that a bunch of times, that one day we will stand before the Lord, okay? Each one of us individually will stand before the Lord and his burning eyes of fire. And he will know everything we have done. And it will pass through the fire. And some of it will be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. And others will come forth as gold, silver, and precious jewels. And you've heard me say this before. You've heard my heart on this. I refuse to stand before the Lord. I refuse to stand before the Lord and realize that my life was a waste. I love him too much. I love him too much for the years that I am on this earth to do something and have nothing to give him. I refuse. And that is like the driving perspective of my heart. Like, God, I am not going to stand before you. And I came back to the Lord when I was 14, right? So Ron says, we're going to 120 together. Okay, that's what he says. We're going to 120 years old together. So let's say 104. Well, now I got to go to 124 because I can't say less than what he said. So 110, 11 decades of the earth on the earth, and for it to just... And the Lord's like, well, you're in. But I have nothing. And everyone else is like, gold, Jesus, silver, Jesus, precious jewels, Jesus. And I'm like, ashes, wah, wah, wah. No, 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 absolutely not. And so if you don't have that fire in your heart, ask the Lord for that, okay? Because that will push you and keep you from sin like nothing else. That idea of standing before the Lord with regret in your heart because you screwed up however long you had. And I'm not talking about the years before Jesus. I'm talking about once you come to that realization and after. Okay, but that's not where we're at. Okay, so verse 12 was about why there's leaders to equip us to do the work. Verse 13. This is our goal. This is where we are going. Remember I said we're going to talk about where we are going and how do we know if we're on track. This is where we're going. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The International Children's Bible, which is what we're reading right now with our kids, says, this work must continue until we are all joined together in the same faith and in the same knowledge about the Son of God. We must become like a mature person. We must grow until we become like Christ and have all his perfection. That's where we as a body, that's where we as a whole are going, to be like Christ and to have all his perfection. I love that they made sure to put the word all in there. Like not just a little corner of his perfection, all of his perfection. So verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. I'm reading each verse because I love the Bible, and I just like to say it a lot. Okay, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. This verse tells us the contrasting state we could be in. Okay, so remember, Paul's writing to believers. So the choices he's giving aren't heaven or hell. He's like, hey, once you're there, are you towards maturity, or are you staying as a child and immature? And this is what it looks like to stay in that immature state. Because he's talking to Christians, okay? He's talking to the church in Ephesus. And so in this verse 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Okay, so just as in the verse prior, Paul outlined what it looked like to be in the contrasting state of immaturity, he's here outlining what it looks like to grow up into the head. Okay? So earlier I said that this was transformation, not agitation. And so that's where I want to sit now. Those two words, transformation and agitation, are what I'm using for these contrasting states of maturity and immaturity. Because they're spiritual states, spiritual transformation versus spiritual agitation. And so I'm using the word agitation here because Paul, when he's talking about this immaturity or this childlike state, says, tossed to and fro with every wave, carried about by the wind, okay? It's movement, okay? Sometimes, a lot of times, we think immaturity is staying still. But here he's saying, no, it's movement. It's just not movement in the correct direction. It's not movement that leads to anything, okay? And so that word agitation means the act of shaking, the state of being moved with violence or with a regular action, commotion, like the sea after a storm. Okay? So I feel like there's a really great match with that word agitation, both in meaning and in feeling to what we're going. And I really just wanted to use a word that epitomized the fullness of what he's talking about. Because like I said, a lot of times we think immaturity and we're like, oh, it just means they're stunted. They didn't grow. But there's actually a lot going on when you stay in that immature state. And so when you're thinking about being tossed to and fro, carried about by the wind, it's not something that's just like a sapling that's stunted. It's something that's like, what tree even is that? Is it a maple tree with the whirly birds? Like I grew up. Yeah, okay, it's a maple. I grew up just calling them the whirly, you know, like the whirly birds. And so, yeah. And so the potential, it hasn't even rooted, right? Those seeds are just whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. When I was growing up, one landed on our roof, and we had those overlapping slates, so there was, like, dirt in there, and we had a tree, like, start to try to grow on our roof. But so the immaturity is, like, the seed of it. It's just carried about and tossed to and fro. Okay. So, in transformation, of course, it's a form changing. It's a growing. Actually, theologically, it's about conforming to Christ, right? And so transformation, I think that's super clear why I would use that. So we know what our end goal is, And we already agreed that once you have an end goal, you can figure out if you're on track or not, right? So we know our end goal is to be like Christ. And so now we want to look at, are we on the path to being like Christ? Or are we like, somewhere in the winds, being carried with no aim, no goal, no purpose, no, all that sounds horrifying. Can I just be honest? Like, I'm saying these words and everything in me is like, no, 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 cringing. So I just want to walk through some principles that help us determine whether we are on a journey towards spiritual transformation or whether we're stuck in spiritual agitation. Okay, there's going to be five of them for those of you who like to take notes. I like to know how many there are right up front. Okay? So number one, transformation prioritizes the likeness of Christ. Agitation holds up people as the goal we're striving for. Okay? So transformation prioritizes the likeness of Christ. Right there in the scripture, we said that we're going to the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ until we become like Christ, have all his perfection. Verse 15, that we're growing up into him who is the head. So transformation, spiritual transformation, spiritual maturity prioritizes being like Christ. Spiritual agitation or immaturity looks at other people as the goal that we're going for, right? And not just as an example of something. I have had just many spiritual giants in my life who I look at and go, okay, that's the path I want to walk in. But it's very much a Paul, follow me as I follow Christ thing, not idolizing them. They are it. They are what I want to be. You know, it's a, I'm looking at them to see Jesus. Okay? You with me? Great. Okay, principle number two. Transformation centralizes the knowledge of God. Agitation runs from one doctrine to the next. Okay? At the core of spiritual transformation is the knowledge of God. It's to see him more clearly. It's to know him more fully. It's to love him more. It's to see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? It is to know the Lord. It is not being distracted by minutiae and allowing that to control your walk, allowing that to control what you do at any given moment. You know, not that there's anything wrong with digging into like little things, cool stuff. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But when you are distracted from the main and plain things of Scripture because you are trying to figure out, like, I don't even know. I can't think of some ridiculousness that someone's asked me in the past. I don't know. I think there was this one where it was like, well, here it said this was a region, and here it said this was a town, and so therefore there's a mistake in the Bible. It was something weird. And I was like, okay. Like, I was like, I'm, and they're like, well, you see, they made a mistake. Here it's a region and here it's a town. So therefore, we just got to chuck the whole thing out. And I'm like, I don't, you know, later on I looked at a map and it turned out it was also a region and a town. It was like the greater Rochester area and the city of Rochester. Like, you could use it for both. And so it wasn't even a mistake, but it's like, you spend so much time churning up about that thing that you, like, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. It's okay if the region and town are named the same. Or, you know, where he talks about, like, one person worships on this day and the other person worships on this day. And Paul's like, it's all to the glory of the Lord. Like, you know, we do it ourselves where we can get caught up in this kind of twisting and turning. But the scripture also makes it clear that others do it to us and do it on purpose. What is that? Verse 14. Carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Okay? There are people who want to twist you up. Ron and I used to do a lot of musical theater. And so we'd get confronted with a lot of questions. People would always flip out once the bios came out. Because we put our bio in the program. Ron a lot of times was a music director and I was a choreographer. And we're not by any means ashamed about our Christianity, ashamed about what we believe, anything. But, you know, if I'm in there and I'm running in 2 minutes before and I'm teaching, you know, like 5, 6, 7, 8, ball change, and then I leave, they may not know that I go to church if we haven't had a conversation. So then the bios would come out and it would talk about, you know, that I was a children's pastor, you know, that I traveled doing puppets, that I did, you know, kind of a lot of my arts background is with church stuff. So it'd be in there, and all of a sudden, we'd have 30 cast members, like, so you're a Christian. And we're like, yeah. So I guess that means you don't like me then. I'm like, because of whatever their lifestyle was, whatever they had believed that they had made clear about over the last 6 to 12 weeks that we've been working together. And I'm like, have I done something to offend you? Like, why would you think I don't like you? Like, well, you're a Christian. Like, okay, so out of the two of us, whose behavior has changed? Because I've known I was a Christian for this entire time. Just saying, right? And so sometimes some of them would come with very sincere questions, and some people would just want to hit you, churn you up, like, oh, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And I'm like, I don't know what you're trying to do right now, but whatever it is, it's not working. Like, if you want to have a conversation, let's have a conversation. If you're trying to knock me down, it's not going to happen. Frequently, the conversation would go, there'd be all these, like, weird things, and I go, well, you know what? If God is who I say he is, and he is, then he is not shocked by your questions. Your questions do not bother him or knock him off the throne. My lack of knowledge has nothing to do with who he is. So just because I can't answer your question doesn't mean that the question doesn't have an answer. Or that he's not still God. It just means I don't know, right? And so a lot of times that was very innocent, but we've also been in conversations where there is a hostility to the Lord, and so there is a warping and a twisting of what he says. Remember, we spent 4 years at the International House of Prayer, and Ron came back at one point, and he was at one of the music places getting some equipment repaired, and he's been cool with these guys for years. And so someone was like, oh, we haven't seen you around. He's like, oh, yeah, I moved to Kansas City. And they're like, why'd you move to Kansas City? And he's like, oh, I'm doing the International House of Prayer. And, you know, Ron will take any moment to, like, shift that conversation to eternity. So he's like, yeah, so we're prayer missionaries. He's explaining, and the guy's like, oh, come sit down with me. I'd like to talk to you. And Ron's like, yeah, sure. So he sits down, and he was like, you moving your family to the International House of Prayer is the worst possible thing you could have ever done for your children and for their future life. And Ron's like, oh, what? You know, like the conversation shifted that hard. And he's like, you want to break that down for me? And the guy spent the next hour just not even having an issue with IHOP. Like, that's a conversation to have, you know? but an issue with dedicating yourself to the Lord and expecting your kids to be in that atmosphere. He was warping them forever. Okay? Now, could Ron have gotten twisted up about that? Been like, oh, I've got to beat down his arguments. I've got to. Like he had a conversation. But when the guy was closed, at the end of the day, did it change who Ron was and him standing on the Lord and moving forward with that? No. Okay? The knowledge of God is what is centered to Ron's life. Not just this kind of argumentative approach of, is this little thing better than this little thing? Is this little thing better than that little thing? You can only use the King James Version, because if you use anything beyond the King James Version, then you're heretic and you're burning. Right? People, some of y'all, you know, okay? Transformation centralizes the knowledge of God. Agitation runs from one thing to the next. Number three. Transformation stabilizes you. Agitation leaves you without sure footing. Okay, we see that. Tossed to and fro in the waves, carried by the winds. Okay? The words that they use for transformation are growth, rooted, grounded. Right? If you are spiritually mature, you are more stable. You are more sure-footed. You are more stable. You have a stronger foundation, okay? If you are not transforming, if you are only agitating, it's just right there in the word, agitation. Like, when I think about that, I think about, like, I've got a kid who, like, vibrates when they get excited about stuff, and they're just like, you know, it's like the animation, and it's just, like, blurring really fast, right? Okay? That's what I think of when I think of agitation. You're just like, right? And anyone can just bop, knock you, right? Because if you're vibrating like that, you're not sound. You're not planted. You're not solid. Principle number four. Transformation utilizes leaders and peers to move forward. Agitation says there's no consistent community. So we see this. Right at the beginning of this passage, I'm going to put that down. Right in the beginning of this passage, they talk about apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, okay? Help to build you up. And then it says, we all move forward. From whom the whole body, being held and fitted together by every joint, okay? So you've got people leading and you've got others with you. As joints and portions of the body. Transformation knows that there are leaders and that there are peers, but that you are locked into community. You are part of a whole. Agitation says there's no one around you, that no one can be trusted. I actually just had a conversation with someone where we were talking about the importance of developing community, and they're like, well, what if there's no one? And we're like, okay, well, first of all, you're in our house, so there's not no one, because Ron and I are sitting here looking you in the face, and we know what we're committed to on your behalf. So let's start there, right? And so we're pressing her about it. And so this last week I talked to her, and she was like, you know, the Lord really convicted me about that later. And he was like, just because you don't have what you want doesn't mean to ignore or despise what you have. You know, because she was looking for some deep friendships. And the Lord's like, we'll get there, but you're not going to get there by despising the people who are already with you and trying to run. And so she was just really convicted about that and letting me know that her attitude and her heart had changed about the community that was around her. But that's agitation. That's immaturity. I mean, I've been in times in my life where I'm like, there's no one. God, why does no one know me? No one knows me. No one loves me. And the Lord's like, are you even trying to be known? Like, are you actually having conversations with anybody? Or are you sitting there screw-faced with your arms over and like anyone who approaches you, you're like, fine. Good. Nothing. Yeah. Are you trying, right? And then the Lord's like, how dare you? Like, this is the things he says to me. Like, how dare you say you're not known when every person I send to you, you're like sending them back with their tail between their legs. Like, this is not a one-way street. Like, they don't have to just pursue you. You got to be open, right? So transformation recognizes that we need both those things. Last one. Transformation emphasizes truth and love. Agitation leans heavy to one side or the other. And both those. And I said leans heavy for a reason. Because a lot of us have a bent, right? A lot of us have a bent to be more clear and direct with the truth, or to be a little bit more with the love, you know, try to smooth it, okay? So that's some of that's just our personal bent. But if you are heavy, like, well, I just got to tell the truth. I got to tell the truth. And it's like, or you're just mean. Like, maybe you're just being mean, right? Like, maybe you're just being mean. And then some people are like, well, I want them to love, be feel loved. I don't want to, I just want them to know love. And you're like, or you're enabling them. Maybe that's what you're doing, right? The Lord is perfect truth and perfect love, right? He says, I am truth, and he also says, I am love, right? They are married perfectly in the Lord. He always speaks the truth. He always speaks in love, okay? So we are becoming more like him when we are working to marry those two things in ourselves, no matter what our natural bent is. If we are refusing and letting ourselves tilt to truth or tilt to love, we are staying in a place of agitation, in a place of immaturity, because we are refusing an entire aspect of who God is. When you say, I will speak the truth, and you don't care if it's said in love, or if you say, I will love, and you don't care if truth comes out of your mouth, you are refusing, you are saying no to an entire aspect of who the Lord is. And I don't think we realize how serious that is. We are rejecting God when we speak the truth without love and say that we're going to stay there. Or we're going to say we're going to speak love without truth. We are rejecting the Lord. Okay? We are rejecting the Lord and his very nature. And how are you going to grow if the person who you are saying you're going to be like, you're rejecting a whole side of who he is? Like, I am married. My goal is to continue to grow in love with my Lord, with my husband. We are going to grow together in love. Decade upon decade upon decade until the Lord takes us home. That's the goal, to grow in love, to grow in oneness. I cannot do that if I refuse part of who he is. I'm not talking about like the trappings. You guys have heard me tell like the breakfast story where he's really intense about breakfast foods and I am not, okay? Rod's back there calling me like a heretic or something. And so, but that's not him. That's not him. That's just fluff. Truth and love are not fluff. They are who the Lord is. Okay? And so, questions for you to think about for yourself. Who do I want to be like? Who do I want to be like? Who is my end goal? Is it Jesus? Or is it some other person who you think is the epitome of everything? What's your end goal? What knowledge am I pursuing? Like, just think about your last week in your quiet time. What were you pursuing? Was it the knowledge of God? Or were you tripped up by something little? Like, I mean, I like a good research bench. Like, y'all know, I love my dictionary. I love, you know, my commentaries. I love to dig in. I like to look at, oh, what is this? What is that? And like trace the map and all that kind of stuff. But that is not the bulk of my time with the Lord. That is not the bulk of what I focus on. Doesn't mean you can't do it at all. But what is the bulk of what you're focused on? What knowledge are you pursuing? And if you look at your last week and it wasn't the Lord, it wasn't the character of God, it wasn't the nature of God, then something needs to shift. On a day-to-day basis, do you feel like you are stable or do you feel like you don't have a place to land? This is not a condemnation at all. But on a day-to-day basis, like look at 2 weeks. Did you feel stable spiritually? Or did you feel off kilter? Who surrounds you? That's the next question. Who is around you? Can you point to people in your life that are your leaders? And when I say leaders, I do mean, are there people in your life who fit the apostolic role, the prophetic role, who are teachers, who are pastors, who are evangelists? Like, do you have what the Lord says, these are the people who are building you up. Do you have that in your life? Do you have peers who are also pursuing the Lord? Who is around you? Once again, not a point of condemnation, but if you're going, I've got good leaders, but I don't have a community. I don't have other people who are pursuing the knowledge of Christ. I don't have other people who are pursuing the Lord around me. Then that's like, it's not a condemnation. It's this is where you are. Let's go somewhere else. Right? Let's go somewhere else. I used to work at LA Weight Loss, and the first thing was always, let's get on the scale. Where are we? Let's see how far we have to go. Okay? Last question. When you speak, what do you tend towards? Truth or love? Or like you might say grace. Some people might think kindness. Okay? Where do you tend? And are you actively trying to get in the middle? Right? Like if I know I tend more towards the truth side, am I actively looking to speak with love? Because I've got the truth thing on lock, you know? Am I looking to speak with love? If I know that I tend to extend a lot of grace, speak with a lot of love, speak very tenderly, am I working to make sure I always speak the truth? Which way do you tend? And how are you getting in the middle? The straight and narrow path. Most of you probably know which side you're on. If you don't know, ask somebody who lives with you. They will give you a lot of clarity. You know, if you don't know whether you are more the harsh, direct truth person or the everything's okay person, ask somebody who lives with you. They will make it real plain, real fast. Right? Or who has lived with you in the past, you know? And so I think when we look at those questions, we see really clearly, are we on a journey towards spiritual transformation, or are we stuck in this place of agitation? And my heart for all of us is that a year from now, that we would be further along the path to being more like Christ. That wherever we are at, we will have stepped into a new place of glory with him. Okay? Are we good? And so, Lord, take us from glory to glory. I thank you that that's a promise that we have from you. That you will take us from glory to glory. That you are faithful to complete that which you started in us. That you don't just see us as weak and broken, but you see us as one who can be like you. And because you know we can go there, you expect us to go there. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take us by the hand. That you would lead us into your truth. That you would lead us into your love. And that you would lead us on a path to being like you. Each of us individually and as a corporate body. Take us, Lord, on a journey into you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.